Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Hey, quick question. How many of you when you were kids, or first, how many of your kids like to watch the same movie over and 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 over again? That's what I thought. Now, we find that annoying as adults. But how many of you, don't let your kids know, will admit that when you were a kid, you did the same thing, right? You watched movies over and 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 over again because they were awesome, right? One of the movies that I watched as a kid, and I watched it over and over and over and over and over, and I had lines memorized, probably had total scenes memorized. Great film, teaches amazing lessons. You know it. It's called The Karate Kid. Yeah! Come on! Now notice I said The Karate Kid, starring Ralph Macchio and Pat Morita. No other versions count. Not talking about Karate Kid 2, 3, 4. Not talking about the new one they made, the remake. No. There's one and only Karate Kid, and it stars Mr. Ralph Macchio. I love The Karate Kid. If you aren't familiar with Karate Kid, where you've been for 30 years, you've had 30 years to figure it out. Basically, the story of Karate Kid is that Daniel LaRusso and his mother moved to California. They moved to an apartment complex in California. They encounter some troubles. Daniel meets some hooligans, some thugs. He runs into a gang of karate fighters, as you are wont to do. And so to learn how to deal with these bullies, he goes to the janitor at his apartment complex, the maintenance man, Mr. Miyagi, and Mr. Miyagi teaches him karate. And by the end of the, you know what, I'm not even going to tell you the end. I just want to show it to you. This is how Karate Kid ends. It's amazing. Check it out. In the name of Jesus, go be Karate Kid. Have a great week. I'm just kidding. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Now, I showed you that for a reason. There's a pretty famous concept that comes from the Karate Kid. If you have seen the Karate Kid, you're familiar with it. Other movies have actually tried to steal it from the Karate Kid. But for those of you who don't know, when Daniel goes to Mr. Miyagi to learn karate, Mr. Miyagi has some very interesting training techniques that he uses to teach Daniel karate, and they basically involve a lot of manual labor. They involve Daniel waxing cars, painting fences, sanding floors, and if you are familiar with the movie, then you know this picture, and you remember the phrase, right? What was it? Wax on, wax off. One more time, wax on, wax off, right? Because he taught Daniel to wax the car. He taught them to wax on and then wax off. And then he taught him sand the floor, remember? Then he taught him paint the house. and paint the fence. And he does all these different manual labors. And eventually Daniel loses it, right? There's a scene in the movie where Daniel goes to Mr. Miyagi and he's like, dude, when are you going to start teaching me karate? This is getting ridiculous. I'm tired of being your slave. I'm tired to do all this. And Mr. Miyagi basically attacks Daniel. You just got to watch the movie. He attacks him. But what you find out is all these moves Daniel's been doing, wax on, wax off, sand on the floor, they've been teaching Daniel muscle memory. They've been creating reflexes in him that he didn't have. They've been creating automatic responses because he was doing the things in the same way over and over and over, just repeating the pattern, doing it the right way. Mr. Miyagi was actually teaching him to do karate the whole time. That's what he was doing. And so when Mr. Miyagi teaches him, this taught that, this taught that. And so Daniel kind of has this moment of, oh, you're the man, Mr. Miyagi. And then, as I just showed you, he goes on to win the whole thing. Now, some of you are wondering, what is happening? Why are we talking about Karate Kid? Why are we talking about muscle memory? Why are we talking about any of this stuff in church? And the answer is very simple. We're in a series right now called Squad Goals. And I think the lesson that Daniel learned from Mr. Miyagi is a lesson that we all should learn. Because I believe for us to become the men and women God actually wants us to become, there are some practices. There is some training that he wants for us. And that training will create the muscle memory you need and I need and we all need to become the men and women that God wants us to be. Now, the reason I would say that is because we're in a series called Squad Goals. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about the goals we collectively share as a group. We collectively share as a squad. The things that drive us. See, I believe that one of the big reasons you stick in any group is not just affinity. It's not just because you like each other. It's because that the group has a common goal. And it draws you to it, and so you stick in that group. And my hope is that every person in this room wants to be a part of our squad. Wants to be a part of what God is doing in this place. And so we've been spending a few weeks looking at what God wants to do through us. And the first week of the series, we discovered our primary squad goal. We discovered what makes us tick. When you came in this morning, you saw it on our front wall. We make a very big deal about it because it's our core value. It's our vision. It's to see those far from God become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. This is what drives us more than anything else. As I said week one, we feel like God has called us here to breathe life into Myrtle Beach. And to do that is to see those far from God become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. The next week we talked about our core values. As TJ mentioned earlier, we have a wall, our core values. These are the principles that we find in God's Word, and we find it in what God has been doing through us that we think make us unique, that we think drive us, and that we want to make sure that we embrace. These are our core values. These are our squad goals. I've challenged you to make our core values your core values. If you've missed any of the series, you should go back and watch it because it really gives you a better understanding of what it is God wants to do. Now, last week we talked about the fact that for that to happen, for you to be able to make God's goals your goals for your life, for you to be able to do what God's called you to do, it's going to require some change. It's going to require me to change. It's going to require all of us to change. And last week we even saw Jesus pray for us and pray for us that we would change. Not because we're bad, but because he wants us to be more like him. Because to tell people about him, we are at our best when we are most like him. And he gave us a secret for that. The secret is to get into circles, to get into a group of people who feel the same way you do, who are pursuing the same things you are, and to live life with them, to pray for them, to let them pray for you, to share your struggles with them. And last week we had our big CG sign up. Many of you signed up to join a circle for the very first time, and I'm really thrilled you did that. Now today, as we pick up right there and continue squad goals, I want to go back to the Karate Kid. I want to go back to Mr. Miyagi. I want to go back to the training. Because Mr. Miyagi knew that Daniel needed to learn some reflexes. He needed to learn some skills that he didn't even have to think about, that they just reacted. He needed to create muscle memory. And I am convinced that for each one of us in this room, to become the man or woman God wants us to be, to be able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish through us, we have to do the very same thing. And wouldn't you know it, God actually has a training program. He actually has a regimen that is clearly written down in his word that each one of us can follow, that many of you are following, and that you can already see the results of the muscle memory that's being developed. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to turn, as I often do here at Wellspring, to a man named Paul. Paul was an early church pastor and leader. Paul actually didn't spend time with Jesus while Jesus was on earth. Jesus had died. He'd come back to life. He ascended back into heaven. Paul was actually a religious leader. He was a Jewish leader. And Paul despised the church. He thought the church was heresy, and he tried to destroy the church. But one day he was on his way to Syria, and Jesus actually had an encounter with Paul and said, "Paul, what are you doing, man? I'm real. You need to follow me." Paul's life was radically changed, and Paul becomes probably the greatest missionary and evangelist the church has ever known. Paul took the church from Jerusalem, took it to many of the ports around the Mediterranean Sea. He spread the church. He took the church to the world. And here's the cool thing. Paul then would write letters to those churches to give them instructions for how to live their life, how to conduct church business, how to follow Jesus, right? Paul basically laid out the squad goals for these churches. And the amazing thing is the church was so smart at the time, they knew, hey, this isn't just normal letters. God is in these letters. God is behind these letters. So they saved them. They kept them. And 2,000 years later, we can read those letters. And we believe that it wasn't just Paul writing. We believe God himself was speaking through Paul when he wrote those letters. So we can read the letters now, and it's like God is talking directly to us from 2,000 years ago. And in one of Paul's letters to the church at Ephesus, Paul begins to talk about the church. Paul begins to talk about this squad. And Paul lays out the squad goals that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. Paul basically says that the goal of the church is to see those far from God become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. He says, this is our goal. But then Paul does something else. Paul begins to explain how that works. Paul begins to explain how each and every one of us have a part to play in it. Paul begins to lay out the training program that God has designed for us, because it's going to create the muscle memory. It's going to create the reflexes that God needs us to have to accomplish the purpose that he wants for us. So what I'd love to do is I'd love to take you to the book of Ephesians, specifically to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, because it's here where Paul begins to lay out God's vision for the church, God's ultimate goal for this squad. And so we're going to start there. We're going to back up a little bit. We're going to look at the way God intended for this all to work. And then as we get to the end of the passage, we're going to see that it all hinges on us. And it all hinges on us saying, yes, God, I will accept this role. I will accept this training that you have for me. I will do something, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't quite know what you're doing, because I know it's going to create the muscle memory in me that I need to do what you ultimately want me to do. And if you're here today and you don't believe in God, I want you to know we are thrilled that you are here. And even if you don't believe in God, God believes in you. And God is thrilled that you're here, and I believe he's moved heaven and earth to make it possible for you to be here today. And I believe, even if you don't believe in God yet, I believe one day you're going to change your mind, and you're going to give your life to him. And when you do, you're going to discover that the very thing we're talking about today, he's put in you, and he has created you to make a difference. He has created you to change the world, and he has created you with this training program in mind. And he invites you to join him right now in what he wants to accomplish in Myrtle Beach, and around the world. So, if you have your Bibles, join me. We're going to turn to the Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 11. And here's what Paul says when Paul begins to explain this whole idea of the church. He says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. And you may say, now why did he give them gifts? Well, he gave them these gifts because they were good for them, because they were helpful, because God knew that the church was his whole plan. Jesus came, Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples. He died. He came back to life. He told his disciples, go change the world. And then he left. And he left it in the hands of his followers. And so what God's saying, he's saying, look, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. He's saying, I've given you these gifts to help you accomplish what I want to accomplish. I've given you the apostles. These were the men that walked with Jesus. These were the disciples. These were the men who saw Jesus face to face, who saw him die, who saw him come back to life, who wrote the words we have that tell us everything we know about Jesus. They were a gift to us because they knew to do that, and they held it. They were also the gifts of the prophets. These were all the men and women in the Old Testament who God spoke through and who God used to prepare his people for him to come and send his son to rescue us. He also gave us the evangelists. This is Paul. These are all the missionaries who took the message that they had in the first century and spread it through a world that for at least the next 200 years was going to be bitterly against them. It wasn't until like 315 that Christianity wasn't even made legal It was illegal before that point to be a Christian. But these brave men and women took the faith and they shared it. And they're the reason we can have it now and that we even know what God wanted to do. And then the last one there, it says, and the pastors and the teachers. These are the men and women who picked up the torch then and who have created churches and built churches and led churches even to today here at Wellspring Church. God has given all these things to the church for a very specific reason. Here's what he says. He says, their responsibility, now there is talking about the pastors and teachers, talking about the leaders of the current church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So what he's saying, look, I've given you all these things, and I've even given you leaders today. I've given you pastors, I've given you teachers, I've given you staff. I've given you a place, and their job is not to do the work. Their job is to equip you to do the work. Their job is to prepare you. That Greek word there literally means to prepare for a certain task, to mold, to shape, to fashion, to get ready for something. So what Paul is saying to you, as a member of this squad, is it my job and the staff's job is to equip you, is to prepare you, is to partner with Jesus, to mold you and shape you, to do his work, which is to build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, the way I know it's supposed to work that way is because I've been here for 7 years. And it's only as we have equipped you to go do the work that we've grown. It's what God has done through you that has led us to leave the YMCA to move to this place. It's led us to be able to baptize 78 people in one day. It's what God has done through you. And that is his plan. We're to equip you to do his work, to follow his program, to develop the muscle memory you need to be used by God to change the world. Now, where's this program going? What is the goal of training? What is the goal of coming to church? What is the goal of learning about Jesus? What is the goal of getting in a circle? What is the goal of all these things? Paul lays it out. He says, then this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. His point is, we all have some growing up to do. Right, if you were here last week, you remember Jesus prayed for his disciples that they would be holy, that they would be set apart. That meant different. That meant different than the world and more like him. As we said last week, that's a process. That takes time. What Paul's trying to say here is the church's job is to equip you to do his work, and that equipping is going to make sure that you grow in your unity of your faith and knowledge of God's Son and that you become mature, that we all grow together. Now, you may wonder, how mature is mature enough? What is the standard here? What is the goal? Where are we trying to grow to? Paul tells us. Here's what Paul says. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So the standard is Jesus. So he's saying we're supposed to be a part of this program, be a part of this process, be a part of this training until we can look in the mirror and say, you're just as good as Jesus. Now, have any of you ever done that? Good answer. Good. Had you raised your hand, I would have had an usher escort you out. We would have talked to you later. I've never once in my life looked in the mirror and said, well, that's Jesus right there. Not once. Not one time. And let me help you. Paul's not trying to discourage you. Paul's just trying to paint an accurate picture. If Jesus is the goal, if our goal is to become like him, he's simply reminding us that that will be a lifelong pursuit. That we will never achieve perfection here on earth. But it doesn't mean we should stop trying. He's basically just trying to prepare the people from Ephesus and us who are reading this passage, who are hearing this teaching. Okay, this training program is for life. I'm going to spend the rest of my life submitting my will to Jesus to become more like him and less like me, to reflect more of his values and less of my values. And when I do that, this is what's going to happen. Paul continues. He says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. He's basically saying you're going to grow in your understanding, and you're going to grow in your faith, and you're going to grow in your knowledge, and you're going to be able to discern when things sound too good to be true, and when that can't be right, and you're going to be able to learn how to ignore like all the forwards that people send you, and ignore the things on Facebook. You're like, that can't be true. Right, it can't. It's not. Just because it's on the internet doesn't make it true. It usually means it's not true. And what he's saying, this is where you can go. If you continue to just follow the plan God has laid out, if you continue to follow the training that he has laid out, be a part of the church, read your Bible, study, and allow God to change you from the inside out, we're all going to keep growing until we become more like Jesus and less like us. We're going to be less immature. And then he says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He's saying here, folks, is God's goal for your life, and here's what he's done to make it possible. God has given you the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists to make sure that the message of Jesus gets to you. And he's given you pastors and teachers to help you understand it and to help equip you for the role he wants you to play in his story. And as you are equipped, as you are prepared to play that role, you are going to become less like yourself. You're going to be less selfish. You're going to be less judgmental. You're going to be less harsh. And you're going to learn how to speak the truth in love. It's going to change you from the inside out. Now, week one, we said our goal was to breathe life into Myrtle Beach. Now, Paul is saying we are going to learn to speak the truth in love. Breathe life. Speak the truth in love. Man, I don't know about you. It's almost like God planned this because they sound the same. It's almost like it all works together. If we simply adopt his training, if we simply say, yeah, man, I'll do it. I'll do what you want me to do. Then we become the men and women that God wants us to be. But it's not just separate. This is why the church is so important. This is not even something you can do on your own. Because look what Paul says next. Paul makes it not just about you. He makes it about us. He says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. It means he's shaping you a little bit. And he's molding you. And he's changing you. And he's creating you. And he's shifting. And he's changing. And he's sculpting. And he's making it all so that it all fits together perfectly into one perfect squad, perfectly able to accomplish his goals for our life. And it only works when we all say yes, when we all agree to be a part of what he wants us to do. That's what Paul says next. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. As each part does its own special work. As each part does its own special training. As each part plays its own special role. If you've been around Wellspring for a while, you've heard me say that we believe everyone has a role to play in God's story. If you're here today, you don't believe in God. I still believe you have a role to play in God's story. And what I think Paul is saying, and what I hope you can understand today, is that we are only at our best, and we are only able to do what God wants us to do when as many of us as possible join together to do our own special work, to play our own role. What I think God is saying is this, what I think he's saying through Paul is, our squad is most effective when you are most engaged. That our squad is at its strongest when you are the most plugged in. And yes, that means attending, and yes, that means inviting, and yes, that means joining a circle. But there's one more piece that I think God is talking about through Paul today. And it's one more piece that's going to equip you in ways you can't imagine possible. And it has to do with your own special work. It has to do with the role I believe God has created each and every one of us to play in His story. And the way we talk about it here, what we say is we call it serving. We call it volunteering. We call it stepping up and giving back. Because see, I believe everybody in this room has a gift, has a talent, has some time that they can offer to God that God can use to strengthen the whole church. What am I talking about? I'm talking about people who are out there and help you park your cars. I'm talking about the greeters as you came in. I'm talking about the people who are taking care of your kids. I'm talking about the ushers who helped you find a seat. I'm talking about the people on stage singing. I'm talking about the people in the back running sound and running lights and running the screens and all those things. I'm talking about all these places that God has given us, all the roles God has created in our church for people to serve, for people to give back, for people to sacrifice what they want for what God wants. Now, I understand. I'm not stupid. This sounds incredibly self-serving for me to have spent 28 minutes leading up to God's answer for your life is to volunteer your time here. But just wait, there's more. That's not really what even God asked you to do, is it? What God really asked you to do, not just volunteer your time here, God asked you to pay for the privilege of serving here. He does. You can laugh, it's okay, it's funny. I tell people all the time, our job is to convince people to pay to volunteer. Because he asked you to tithe, he asked you to give back 10% of your money, and now he's asking you to serve and to volunteer as well. I get it. I understand it sounds self-serving, but let me help you understand why it's not. Why it's not self-serving at all. And to do that, I take you back to Mr. Miyagi. See, he knew that these tasks that he was having Daniel do were teaching him muscle memory. And we're preparing him for something greater. I am fully convinced that when you surrender your time and your talents to God, when you surrender to serving, when you surrender to being a part of what God wants you to do here on a weekend, that in the very same way, He is creating muscle memory in you. And He is preparing you for something bigger and better than yourself. What am I saying? I'm saying serving creates muscle memory. It builds it. Think about it. Think about if once a week you have programmed yourself to coming to a place, serving with people who are older than you, who are younger than you, who like different teams than you do, who have different political beliefs than you do, who are diverse than you in every single way except one thing. You are united in your love for Jesus and your desire to serve Him. And so once a week you come to this place, you put aside your petty differences, you put aside all the things that separate you, you put aside your personal preferences, and you say, you know what? I'm here to be used by God to change the world. What can I do? Let me tell you, for the people who have embraced that in their life in here, it becomes much easier to embrace that out there. If you can put aside personal preferences in here, it becomes much easier to put aside your personal preferences out there. If you can open the door for someone and put them first and smile in here, next thing you know, you're putting people first out there without even thinking about it. Next thing you know, you're racing to the front of the line at Burger King, and you're like, you know what? You go right ahead. You're like, where did that come from? What did I just do? Well, it's because you've been taught that here. It's because you have trained yourself to actually think about other people other than yourself. You find yourself being more patient at work. And you're like, why am I so much more patient at work? It's because you work with second and third graders for an hour every Sunday. And your threshold for noise has just gone up. Like, you can take it now. So the people at work are amazing. Or maybe you work with some middle schoolers. I don't know. But I'm telling you, as you seek to put God first and surrender yourself in here, it prepares you for what He wants you to do out there. Because God begins to create muscle memory in you. He begins to create reflexes in you. If you serve already, our current volunteers, even if you haven't realized it, this is happening in your life. And here's how I know. One of the things we teach our volunteers is that we want you to win every Sunday. We want you to leave every Sunday feeling so great. And man, God just used you to change the world and you're on fire. And guys, that is our goal each week. And we do everything we can to point you to that. But let's be straight for a minute. It doesn't always happen. There are Sundays I get off the stage and I'm like, what did I just do? They'd have been better off just listening to somebody else's podcast. You know, we can all feel that way. We can all feel let down. Let's be honest. There are some days, I know this, I know y'all. There are some Sundays you wake up, and most Sundays you're happy, you want to show up, and you're ready to party, but there are some Sundays you're like, man, I don't want to go. Please don't make me be around those kids. Oh, if I have to watch one more car come in our parking lot, I'm going to scream. I get it. I get it. But let me help you. When you say, but you know what? I made a commitment. I'm going. When you come here and serve, even when you don't feel like it, you are creating a muscle memory in you, which means you will obey God even when you don't feel like it. You are learning to forgive your neighbor even when you don't feel like it and they don't deserve it. You are learning to put people first even when you don't feel like it. You're learning to have faith even when you don't feel like it. Because you are embracing God's training ground. You're embracing God's preparation for your life. There are some of you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God wants to use you in ways you have never imagined. But before God can propel you, He has to prepare you. You just want to be propelled, but you don't want to be prepared. God's got some training for you. He's got some muscle memory He's got to create in you. And the only way we get that is by saying, yes, God. Yes, I will serve. Yes, I will step up. Yes, I will play my part. There's somebody in this room today, I know it. God wants you to start serving in our parking ministry. He wants you to go out there and start parking cars. And it has nothing to do with you being the best car parker in Myrtle Beach. Here's why. Here's why God wants you to park cars. Let me help you. Let me paint this picture for you. God wants you to start parking cars because He knows something you don't. He knows in about a month or 2 months, your neighbor and his wife are going to come to Wellspring for the first time. She's been begging. He said, fine, I'll go once. And he already decided you didn't like it before he came. You laugh because many of you guys, you had that. Gotcha. But no, he's already decided. He doesn't want to go. He's not going to like it. He's just going to go through the motions. He's already got his earpiece in. He's going to be listening to the pregame for the Panthers. Like, he has it all figured out. All right? But here's what he doesn't know. He doesn't know when he pulls on the parking lot, he's going to see your face. And you're going to smile at him. And he's going to go, no, wait a minute. If that guy goes to this church, I'm a little interested. They'll let anybody serve at this place, won't they? And his whole demeanor is going to change. He's going to get out of his car. You're going to say, man, it's so good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. And all that anxiety he had built up and all that angst is going to go away because he knew somebody. He recognized somebody. And he's going to soften his entire approach to church. And he's going to come in and he's going to enjoy the music more than he thought. And the message is going to actually begin to speak to him a little bit. And before you know it, God is going to radically transform his life. All because you said, yes, God, I'll play my role in your story. Now, did you sign up to change the world? No. You signed up to park some cars. But see, you have no idea what God can and will do in you and to you and through you when you simply embrace His plan for your life. And His plan is for each and every one of us to do our own special work in His squad so that He can mold us and shape us to accomplish His goals. Why? Why does it matter if you join in? Why does it matter that we all do it? Because of what Paul said. It's because our squad is most effective when you are most engaged. Like I said, I've been here for 8 years. We have only increased effectiveness as we have grown engagement. As you have joined in. As you have stepped up to play your role. And I know for some of you, you can convince yourselves that you're too busy or you're too special. You're too important. There's too much going on. Church is a place I go for me. Church is a place I go to relax. And let me tell you, man, if this is like your second week, then we're thrilled you're here. Continue to feel that way. But if this is your second year, come on. Let's think about what God's actually doing here. You think those 78 people got baptized because everybody showed up and said, "Show me what to do"? It was because men and women stepped out of the sidelines. They stepped onto the field. And they said, "All right, God, use me. Train me. Create the muscle memory in me. All right, God, you want me to? Fine. I'll wax the cars. Wax on. Wax off. Wax on. Wax off. God, I'll do it. I'll do it because I'm convinced through what I've seen at this place that your way is better than my way." How about you? Are you convinced? Are you willing to step out and say, "You know what? Okay, I'll try this"? He talked about joining a circle last week. I joined a circle, sure. This week, I'll step into the training program. I'll try it. I don't know where. I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know where my strengths are. Hey, guess what? That's our job. Our job is to prepare you to do God's work. Our job is to equip you. All we need for you to do is say, "Hey, I want to help." And then it's our job to figure out where, to figure out how, to encourage you, to coach you. So my challenge today as we close, we're going to sing a song. And my prayer is that as you sing this song, and as you listen to the words, and as you sing the words, that if you aren't currently playing your role in God's story, that as you sing these words, as you sing about surrendering your life and surrendering your heart to Jesus, that you will put some action behind your words. Today is our volunteer sign-up event. Every opportunity we have as a church to serve, to give back, to train, to develop some muscle memory is out there. So after we sing, my challenge for you is very simple. Walk out there, have some conversations, and take a step. Take a step into the training ground God has created for you. Take a step into a program that is going to create more muscle memory in you than you ever thought possible. And this muscle memory is going to allow God to use you to change the world. It's going to allow you to have more impact than you ever imagined. So let me pray for you. And then as we sing, you wrestle with God about what your next step should be. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we just thank you right now that you're so clear. We thank you that you desire for everyone in our squad to be a part of what we're doing. Lord, we know that we are at our most effective when our squad is most engaged. So Father, I pray right now that you begin to remove obstacles. You begin to remove excuses. You begin to give clear ideas of what we could do, of the role we could play, how we could step into this training you've created for us, how we could step into this moment so that you can begin to create the muscle memory in us that we need to have to accomplish what you want us to accomplish. Father, my prayer at this church is we all have a spirit of surrender. We all have a spirit of yes, we will do whatever you ask us to do. So as we sing this song, you change our hearts. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.